on to the remaining items on our regular agenda. I believe we want to start with 490, but I want to give Commissioner Fritz a chance to come back in the room, and there she is, 490.
478, the
oh, sorry.
40 times certain.
Sorry, missed that one. Okay, yes, 478.
Accept a grant in the amount of $100,000 from United States Department of Transportation for Beyond Traffic, the Smart City Challenge grant project, and formally authorize a cooperative agreement.
I want to overlook this. Commissioner Novick.
Colleagues, as you may have heard, Portland is in the running to win a $40 million grant from the U.S. Department of Transportation. Earlier this year, Portland competed alongside 77 other cities to showcase how we could use technology to address urban mobility problems and mitigate past inequities in our transportation system. And back in March, we found out that Portland was a finalist city in this challenge. And now we're neck and neck with six other cities to prove to the feds that we are America's smartest cities. The other cities are Pittsburgh, Austin, Denver, Kansas City, San Francisco, and Columbus, Ohio. The grant application is due May 24th, and as the people working tirelessly on this application can tell you, we're doing everything we can to highlight all of the innovative things Portland is doing as part of this grant application. And now I'd like to turn it over to Maurice Henderson and Leah Treat from PBOT to tell us more about this exciting grant application. I can't talk today, apparently.
Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, thank you for the time today. This is really, really exciting for us. So as Commissioner Novick said, we are in the running for a $40 million prize from USDOT to be the smartest city in America when it comes to transportation. On top of that, Paul Allen and the Vulcan Institute has thrown in another $10 million in the prize. So, and there are other private companies that have come to the table that will be offering prizes to the winning city, such as Alphabet from Google Labs, Infradesk from Amazon. There's a host of other things that are on the table for the winning city. So we're really excited about this. So I believe Portland's going to win. We have some amazing things in our application that I don't think any other city is going to have. And I'm really excited when we get to publicly unveil some of what I'm dubbing the secret sauce in our application, because I think we are going to be leaps ahead of some other cities and things that we have come up with. But I'm also really excited about this because this is an opportunity for us to address mobility issues in East Portland. It's an issue for us. It presents an opportunity for us to connect East Portlanders to jobs, especially along the Columbia Corridor. And it's also giving us an opportunity to connect freight movement along the Columbia Corridor into our application. There's a lot that's in this. High-level picture is it's a ubiquitous mobility application. So anybody with a smartphone will be able to look at an application that could show them how they can get from point A to point B by mode, by time, by carbon footprint, and understanding that not everybody has a smartphone. We also are looking at deploying kiosks so people can walk up to a kiosk either in the right-of-way near bus stations or other areas to do the same thing. There's a lot more to it. I'm going to let Maurice talk a little bit more about it. But it is just incredible. And the amount of work that is going into this is pretty insane. But we have an amazing team that's working day and night to get this done. And we have really incredible partners in the private sector who are helping us with this. And even though I know we're going to win, on the off chance that we don't, we have identified some amazing things that we should be doing anyway. And I think we have established some partnerships in the private sector, the advocacy world, nonprofit world, that we're going to continue to build on and keep working regardless of the outcome after June 8th in our presentation in D.C. So I'm going to let Maurice take it from here and run you through a quick PowerPoint.
Thank you, Leah, and thank you, Council. Thank you, Mayor. As you know, Mr. Mayor, Commissioner, thank you both for your leadership and support of our efforts. Certainly, Leah's guidance and leadership has been invaluable in this process. It's been a heavy lift, but we're extremely excited about the prospects for the future. So I'll run through this PowerPoint very quickly for you, just to give you a high-level overview. As Leah mentioned, the USDOT presented an opportunity for the first time for cities to tell the government, the federal government, how they would like to see their funds allocated and what a smart city would look like in their eyes. And so since December, we've been working feverishly on this process. to try to win this $40 million to show that we are the smartest city, as the mayor said down in Austin, Texas, when we were announced as one of the seven finalists, actually one of the five finalists originally, and which became seven. Portland has been really the prototyper for the nation, has been a teacher for the nation. Our land use policies and urban design and whatnot has been something that people come from all over the country, but also all over the world, to come see. And so this is an opportunity, again, for Portland to show that thought leadership in that space. And so we've brought a team of our private sector partners here in the area, public sector partners from the state level, regional, as well as academia. PSU has been a really strong partner in this process, as well as the University of Oregon and others. So the collaboration that Leah was alluding to in terms of prioritizing some of the needs that we've been, in some cases, not able to address collectively, we all recognize that as something that we need to move forward on. So for those who aren't as familiar with this project, we have a quick video that explains
it. City Challenge. Imagine a city where transportation just works. Gridlock is a thing of the past. Lights turn green as you approach. Traffic flows smoothly as your car talks to other cars to avoid crashes. It even talks to pedestrians and bicyclists. Your driverless taxi shows up just as your train pulls into the station. You arrive home from work and your automated grocery list is delivered just in time for dinner, from the farm to your table. Smart. It's what our cities should be. Equipped with technologies that transform our vehicles and infrastructure so that we can safely manage every aspect of our transportation system. What transportation technologies should a smart city have? Our goal is for you to determine the possible so we can move beyond traffic. Join the challenge.
So that was the video that the USDOT originally sent out to the cities and all the applicants. And so this screenshot that you see is an example of what we believe Ubiquitous Mobility for Portland, or UB Mobile PDX as we call it, will look like for folks. So if you see in the left-hand corner, there's this reference to the marketplace, and Leah was talking about the application, the software application, that people would be able to see the different mode choices that they have. So let's say that you're living along the Powell Division Corridor, or you work in the Columbia Corridor, and whether you take the bus, whether you ride your bike or walk, all of these mobility options, including autonomous, as Commissioner Novick calls it, robot cars, would be available for your choice, and you'd be able to see not only the price, the timing, you'd also see the health benefit for that particular choice, as well as the impact on the climate. So there's a number of things that will be part of this marketplace that we would create.
So let me just get this, make sure I understand this. So you're in your car with your cell phone on, getting all this information while driving. Is that what we're encouraging?
Well, it would actually be talking to you.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, we've actually talked to Waze and a number of other private sector partners about making sure that there's not a distracted driving component to this. That's been a really, safety has been a critical component of our offering. And so all of these things would be interconnected. There would be this open data cloud that we would create that, you know, startup companies here in Portland and elsewhere would be able to utilize that data to help us provide even more rich, robust applications for people to be able to use. As part of this, a part of this money will also go to actually putting devices in the hands of people in those corridors who may not actually have those devices, or we'd be working with partners to provide data plans to make sure that people who may have a smartphone but not a data plan at the moment will be able to leverage this. And as Leah mentioned, one of the partners is Sidewalk Labs, who will be providing about 100 kiosks in the corridors that we'll be using as well, so that people will have that access both on the street, at home, with their cell phones. We'll also be working with partners along those corridors, the two community colleges, the high schools in the area, some of the workforce development centers, et cetera. So this is a really all-encompassing, you know, project for us. As we've said many, many times, this is a people project, not a technology project. It's really about how we make the greatest impacts for folks here in our community.
You know what would be cool in those kiosks if there was a place to plug in and recharge phones?
Yes.
Yeah, is that part of it?
Yeah.
Because it's great having all of the applications. One thing that I've learned from one of the folks who's running for city council about Wi-Fi is that if you use your phone on the bus, it tends to drain the battery really fast.
Yes.
So that's another reason to not maybe use the phone on the bus, but to maybe talk with your neighbor. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to bring that up as, you know, if you are then waiting for a bus and could plug in and recharge, that would be really great.
Yeah, and TriMet has been a tremendous partner in this. A lot of this work and a lot of the infrastructure in terms of the actual technology components that Mobileye will be providing to the winning city for anti-collision infrastructure is something that will be installed on TriMet buses as well as some of our city fleet vehicles. So that's another thing that we're really, really excited about. And to your point, Commissioner, we're trying to think through all of those contingencies for folks to make sure that we're taking everything into account. Obviously, we will miss some things, and we will learn through that process. It's a 3-year grant cycle for the USDOT. The $10 million that Leah referenced from Vulcan is a 2-year grant for the electrification and EV project. But we feel like we have a really good start and great momentum on this.
I know in New York City they just partnered with Google to come in and put the Wi-Fi stations.
Yep.
There is chargers at each station. Mm-hmm. They did it without any taxpayer costs because Google is leveraging the advertising space.
Right.
Is that in our future to be able to have that kind of Wi-Fi? I mean, it's not technically PBOT, but it sure impacts you. Some kind of Wi-Fi system in Portland. So.
Yeah. So as you know, Commissioner, there are ongoing conversations with Google Fiber, and we have our own ERNIE network here. So there will certainly be opportunities and things that we'd bring to the council to discuss in terms of how we leverage that space and the dollars that are leveraged to make that available for people.
Excuse me.
Bless you. Here is just a high-level visual of the corridors that we're talking about and the kinds of components that would go in there. So as I mentioned, or as Leah mentioned, I should say, the Columbia Corridor, as well as the Powell Division Corridor and the north-south connections along Southeast 122nd are the corridors that we've identified for this project. And as the commissioner and mayor know, next week the city will be hosting Secretary Fox. He'll be coming here to Portland to meet with us, and as well as our equity and community partners, and folks who are just excited about this project to talk about what's happening here in Portland. He's going and making a tour of all 7 cities, which is tremendous for each of the communities to have the federal government coming in to talk about our visions for what our cities will look like.
Unfortunately, he's coming when the MAX is under repair.
Yeah, we've
make sure we tell them it's usually much better than.
Yeah,
this.
We've had that. Yeah, we've had that conversation, but we're really excited that he's going to be able to go and visit one of the corridors. So the meeting's actually going to be held at the PCC campus out at Southeast 82nd Avenue. So we're really looking forward to that opportunity. I believe the commissioner, the mayor, and I believe Governor Brown will also be able to attend for a few minutes to meet with the secretary. Leah, did you have something you want to do?
No, okay.
So as you can see, along the corridor, we'll be implementing, Commissioner Fritz, to your question, some of these electrification areas for the grid. We'll also be, like I said, with Sidewalk Labs, implementing the kiosks. So there will be wireless connections as well as Wi-Fi hotspots, Commissioner Fish, to your question. And we will also be deploying air quality sensors as well as sensors to track trip data and things of that nature. So we'll be getting a really robust set of data points to make to clearly to help us with our decision making in the future. And so this is probably the most important thing for you all to know. Obviously today, hopefully you will vote to accept this $100,000 because it's actively being spent at the moment by the team. On Monday, we're going to be actually displaying some of the technology over at OMSI. So we'll have some of the electric vehicles. We're hoping to hoping to get a few, maybe an autonomous vehicle. We'll certainly be displaying our Bike Town bike on Monday as well. We've talked to some of our other partners about some of their sort of prototype projects. We're not sure all the things that will be there, but it's going to be a really exciting event for the community. We reached out to some of the local schools, all of our modal committees, and a lot of community partners will be there. And then on the 18th, as I mentioned, Secretary Fox will be here. The mayor and commissioner will be hosting his visit for a couple of hours. The big date for me is May 24th. Our team has been working feverishly to get to completion for our written application. And then, as Leah also mentioned, on June 8th, the mayor, myself, Leah, and the team will be going to Washington, D.C. to make our oral pitch for why we believe that Portland's the smartest city. And then I believe there's a press conference the following day on the 9th. And then sometime late June, early July, we should know. And then the secretary will be coming back out here to make the announcement officially. So looking forward to that. Any other questions from the
questions.
Council?
Thank you both very much. Thanks. We appreciate the update. Anyone else want to speak on this item before we take action on accepting the grant?
I still have signed up.
Okay. Oh, he's got, he wants to speak. Come on up.
Good morning, Commissioners. For the record, my name is Charles Johnson, and I hope that without even having any particular expenditures, we can improve our networking and planning with Mr. McFarland at TriMet. I'm very happy with the public transit in Portland, but I think it's difficult for us to win a Smartest City grant when our most popular TriMet station, Pioneer Courthouse Square, doesn't have any public displays of the MAX scheduling. I think that's so ridiculous. The city, which used to have this cool big screen TV downstairs that showed some bus arrival times, the city should actually, if TriMet won't do the right thing, consider that many poor and distressed people don't have a smartphone to stand around at the Pioneer Square station with. And it's kind of bizarre that the most popular TriMet station probably in the entire area won't service the neediest customers with a display that tells you when the red line and blue line are coming, when they come back in 2 weeks. So, you know, in addition to chasing this award, which we deserve to win, we want to keep working on being the best. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Watchdog Communications, PDX. One of the concerns I have is more or less on the air pollution. I understand you're going to do some air pollution sensors. I'd like to see in the future there's no fossil fuel operated vehicles within Central City downtown, those parameters to be looked at close on what that parameter would be. Again, I think we need to go to the autonomous vehicles, all electric. I think we need to have more closer discussions with Lyft, General Motors, Google, Apple. Get them in the middle of this and, again, offer the exclusive rights to one of these companies that want to take a location in Central City downtown and begin their pilot projects on the autonomous vehicles. We're talking 40 to 50 million here. And again, I commend Paul Allen, Vulcan. I'm really trying to understand why you're putting up $10 million myself. But then again, Mr. Novick tried to remove a memorial dedicated to one of the Blazers. So I think we need to look at that real close, Mr. Allen, and understand that respect needs to be shown for memorials dedicated to a trailblazer. And understand you need to look at real close when you're talking about the Memorial Coliseum and understand that there's a lot of people out there and large amount of funds can be determined if they go in the direction of the city or not just based upon certain moves that you may try to make. So again, I commend Mr. Allen for proposing to do $10 million toward the city of Portland, because if I was in your shoes, Mr. Allen, and someone messed around with the memorial dedicated to the Blazers, I would ensure they'd never get a penny from me ever again. So something to think about. And an issue, again, I'd like to see Lyft step up on this. I'd like to see one of them and Uber, Travis Kalanick, step back into the game, and you and Garrett Camp come back to the table and make an offer to the city of Portland, since you discounted the traditional cab companies, their values, by at least 50%. Come back into this city, make an offer to do exclusive rights for autonomous vehicles, and that number should be very high to have that right to do, and I'm talking $1 billion to begin with. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. Save the Duckworth Dock.
Good morning.
Okay, as a futurist person who thinks into the future, I think in the future oil will go up. And this idea that you're driving around with a car with some sort of computer saving gas is ridiculous. My concept of a smart city is you live near where you work and you walk. And also using Google for people to a video phone technology, instead of us all meeting here, we could meet separately. At a library, in a library conference room, and still talk to one another and never leave 10 blocks from where we're at. You know, this is my system of the future. Next week I will do a talk on Intel, and I like none of this stuff. I don't believe in people walking around saving energy using electronics. We should be using electronics to make solar cells and live separately. Okay, enough said. That's my vision of the future, and I see a world where oil is $10 a gallon.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, let's take action, please, on this emergency ordinance so we can accept this money.
Well, first, I'm pleased to support this application and join it with my colleagues in rooting for your success, Steve and Charlie. I just want to comment that I wasn't here last week and part of the week before because I was visiting two interesting cities. One was Denver and one was Cordova in Spain. What I learned from Denver is they're slightly ahead of us in transforming their Union Station into a multi-purpose transportation hub. And I love the fact that they've taken the station and turned it into a non-transportation use and then built a new transportation hub that's very easy to access adjacent to it. And I had the pleasure of taking one of the BRTs to a neighboring community, and it went on a dedicated lane, and it was fast and efficient and timely, and there was great technology telling me where to go, and I almost felt European, actually, with the way it was organized. So something I learned there. And then in Cordova really is one of the model cities for us to look at in terms of pedestrian-friendly city. They restrict cars in the historic center. They have fantastic bus and rail. And Steve, when I came home, I had breakfast in Madrid on Sunday, but I took the fast train Saturday night, and that's about 230 miles from Cordova to Madrid, and it took just under an hour and a half. And I'm sitting in this comfortable chair listening to opera, in a car that barely moved, going up over 200 miles an hour in a dedicated lane, and they ran every 15 minutes. Just extraordinary. And, of course, the two train stations at either end are just fantastic. So I learned a lot on my trip. This is a wonderful opportunity for our city, and Charlie has been spending so much time with Secretary Fox, it would almost be ungracious not to award this, Charlie.
We hope so.
Good luck to our team. Aye.
Pleased to accept this grant, and good luck. Aye.
Novick?
I want to thank Leah and Maurice and the whole team that's been working tirelessly on this proposal, not just PBOT staff, but folks from throughout the community who are participating with us, and that's why we've got a great shot, is that we're able to demonstrate overwhelming community support. And I also want to thank Mayor Hales for his tireless efforts on this issue. And I also want to thank my colleagues for being willing to accept this money. So thank you very much, and aye.
Ritz.
Thank you, Commissioner Novick and Director Treat, for your work on this and the entire team. It's good that we're getting this $100,000 to do the work, and it makes me think that when we give out neighborhood grants and other grants to the community, we ought to be investing in and recognizing it takes a lot of work to put in a grant application and a lot of coaching and such. So that's something that I've asked my team at the Office of Neighborhood Involvement to be thinking about moving forward. And also, I very much appreciate that all of the thinking that's going into this. I encourage us to think of a range of low-tech and high-tech of things. And I think one of the things that makes our application stronger is Commissioner Novick and Director Treat's recognition that sidewalks and crosswalks are also a part of smart transportation and that we need to invest in those. As we go to May 24th with the deadline, I hope that you'll be accepting suggestions from the community. One that occurs to me is that why don't we have plug-ins in the bus to recharge our phones like airplanes often now have plug-ins to recharge. That would be, you have them in the car, so we should be thinking about what amenities can you have in a car that you don't get on a bus, and how could we provide those? So thank you very much. It's really an interesting process. Those are six significant cities that we're competing with, and I wish us all the best. Aye.
Niels. I appreciate this discussion, and I think it has added value to the work, and there's a lot of work, so thank you again for doing it. But I think this discussion has helped illustrate that we should think big and small, that there are little things like chargers at the kiosks or chargers on a bus or availability of basic information about when the next train's coming, you know, that make the system work better. And so we should try to not embellish but incorporate that kind of big and small thinking. One personal anecdote to add, we also ought to think about redundancy for when systems don't work, because coming back from a speech by the head of Toyota America last night about autonomous vehicles, the security system in this building had locked up and no one could get into it, including the security guards, so I was unable to obtain the keys to the city car that I had planned to drive home. And instead, of course, I was able to go across the street and catch an Orange Line. So the redundancy in the system worked in that case because the technology doesn't always. And my cell phone had died, so I couldn't call my wife and tell her why I was going to be late. So, you know, two out of three technologies failed me. Thank you, TriMet. There's worked. But I think the point of that story is that having a system that's resilient enough to work for everybody means not everybody has a smartphone. Not everybody understands the system. Not everybody knows what the schedule is. And you might need to charge your phone while you're at it. So thank you for a good discussion. This is an amazing opportunity. There's never been anything like this. There's never been a case where the Secretary of Transportation put this much time personally into anything that I can remember in any one project. I mean, you know, we've had hardworking Secretaries of Transportation. But for the Secretary of Transportation to do what he's done on this, go to Europe, you know, go to every city involved, he is really invested in this. And then also for them, as you said, to ask cities for what are the best ideas instead of saying here are the terms of the grant and you must comply. That's something new under the sun. And this Secretary of Transportation is great. And if there's a Democratic administration in Washington, I'm going to urge her to keep him rather than replace him if he's willing to stay on, because having a former mayor as housing secretary and transportation secretary has been very salutary to the work between cities and federal government. So great work. Sorry about the digression. Aye. Okay.